Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we've had these types of conversations in the past, Rob, about rivalries between countries. A lot of the listeners and viewers of the show will remember the Cold War between the U.S. and Russia. The rivalry now between U.S. and China is a big one. And we thought we have to put some light to this because I'll go back, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, as I called it a technological Cold War between these two countries. And so now it comes time to talk about what does this rivalry really mean? How does it impact everybody? As Canadians, what does that impact us, considering where we're located geographically? But we need to bring an expert understanding this whole piece. And that's why we have Carl Delfield. He is the U.S.-China rivalry expert. He is an expert on Asia, emerging markets, rare metals, and alternative assets. Carl, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Okay, so you've written a book. For those of you who don't know about his book, it is available and ready to go, called Power Rivals, America and China's Superpower Struggle. Carl, tell us more about the book itself first.
Sure. Well, I think America, Canada and the West is in uncharted territory right now, because as you alluded just a moment ago, we had a power rivalry with China, with Japan, but that was primarily economic. They were an ally, a democracy, and that was a very intense rivalry, and it still actually goes on right now. And then, of course, the Soviet Union was primarily military and ideological. But with China, it's what they call in Washington a full-spectrum peer rival. It's all four. It's technology, as you mentioned. It's economic. It's military. And it's ideological. And we've never had as strong a rival as China.
When you look at the book itself, what were the biggest surprising parts that you found when you were putting this together?
Well, I started in Asia with Japan, so I knew Japan well, and then I went to the Philippines with on the board of the Asian Development Bank. So I learned a lot more about Southeast Asia. I'm not a China expert, but in researching this book, I was taken back about how quickly China has caught up to the United States. I'll give you one example. I don't know if you're football fans, but if you look like in the year 2000, the U.S. represented about 28% of world GDP, and China was at 3%. So you're halftime at a Super Bowl, the score is 28-3, you're feeling pretty good. Last year, the score would have been 23-16. So you can see how we're one score away, as they say, from a turnaround. China has just made remarkable gains over the last four decades, and not in technology. They're getting close to being peer rivals, whether it's artificial intelligence, cyber, right across the board. And then military spending is really ramped up. China is already an Asia superpower, represents half of Asia's GDP, half of Asia's military spending. And keep in mind, from a North American perspective, it's a home game for China and an away game for us.
Carl, based on that conversation, saying you said military superpower, do you feel like the United States is going to lose that proverbial global title of the main superpower?
Well, it depends how you define it. Technically, we're getting close on current trends to perhaps losing that or sharing it. And I'll give you another example that people don't realize. China obviously is four times the population of the United States. They have tremendous scale. They're the largest manufacturer by a very significant margin, maybe 25% of world manufacturing, the largest trading nation in the world, something that the U.S. used to be not all that long ago. That people don't realize now, China's the largest trading partner with the European Union now and with South America. So they really are a stiff challenge. And I think people were asleep here in Washington in the US. I think now that complacency has fallen away. Now we have, the risk is going the other way too far, right? The hyping it and playing political games with the challenge. But I think we need to realize that this is a decisive decade, and that China is a real rival, and there's serious consequences for the West.
When we go back in history, Carl, we look back at some of the major dynasties in the past. Let's talk about Great Britain as an example, and so forth. The passing of the next superpower, I think it was the Dutch to the Britons, Britain to the U.S., U.S. possibly now to China. The handoff is not like a track and field event where you just pass a baton. It can become very bloody. It can become very painful to a lot of members within the country and the peripheral areas. Should China become this next superpower where the baton is being passed, where do you see the risks, the damage, and where do you see the opportunity?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's a period of, I call this decade a period of opportunity, but equally a period of vulnerability. And the handoff you mentioned is important, because with the U.S. and Britain, we were, you know, we were competitors, much more intense competitors than people realized throughout the 19th century into the 20th century, when by 1910, we were a larger economy. And then, of course, the Great Depression and World War II, where we were allies. And that's really where the handoff almost formally took place, quite quickly, quite peacefully. And we continued to be strong allies. So that was an easy handoff. China, of course, is a whole different game, because we're so different culturally. We have different political systems, different cultures. We're in different parts of the world. When you think about it, we're very different. And the U.S., of course, and you can see in terms of what's happening in the world, is not inclined to hand over that baton very gracefully. So you're right. The chances for conflict, and we can talk about Taiwan, are real.
One last question before we have to go for commercial break. We got under 2 minutes to go. Just wanted to kind of get an understanding of what your thoughts behind this. When we look at the passing of the baton, or even if you go to the Cold War between Russia and the Americans, countries had to decide which side they were on. Were they on Team Russia or Team USA? In this rivalry, I believe countries will have to decide what team they're on. Now, when you look at countries in the European Union, a big superpower, economically speaking, but because of political reasons, they might have to pick one side, but because of economic reasons, they might have to pick another side. Who do you see on Team China, and who do you see on Team USA if they had to pick sides?
That's a very good question. And I think the Ukraine situation has changed things a little bit, because in my book, which of course was written primarily last year, I talked about Europe as sort of being the key man in the middle. When you look at Europe, they already trade more with China than they do with the United States. And countries like Germany, which of course is by far the dominant economic power in Europe, they have traded more with China than the United States every year for the last 6 years. They sell 2 to 3 times more BMWs in China than they do in the United States. And so the whole auto industry. And then the other thing I would say is that China, I think this was part of China's strategy to not just be an Asian power, but to be a Eurasian empire. So they were working very hard through Belt and Road to expand through their de facto ally Russia into the heart of Europe. In fact, they were shipping tremendous amounts of goods by rail from China to Europe. And so I would say before Ukraine, I would say a lot of Germany and some of the other nations were on the fence, and we'll have to see how all this plays out. But you're absolutely right that Europe is sort of the fulcrum, and the Western Hemisphere, North and South America together is 1 billion people. That's still 400 million short of just China.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's crazy when you think about it that way. Carl, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us. How do our viewers and listeners get a chance to pick up your book? Where can they buy it from?
Well, the easiest place to get it is Amazon, amazon.com. And it's there in ebook, hardback, and paperback.
There you go. We've got Carl Delfield. He's the author of Power Rivals, America and China's Superpower Struggle, available on Amazon in any format that you pretty much like, which is fantastic. Carl, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Now, when you look at all the issues that come up, how do you balance your issues and concerns with what's happening geopolitically? Then you look at your retirement and your retirement portfolio, and you know, these types of things can be a big shock, or could be a big concern, could also impact how you get through retirement.
Yeah.
And so you might need a strategy to help.
We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, July 19th, 7 p.m., live online. Now, you need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Well, what can Memorial Planning teach us about navigating uncertain markets? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.